I would like to look, for us to look at the life of Gideon for a few minutes this morning. There are a few good lessons that we can learn from his life. So let's go to Judges chapter 6, and we'll read Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 21. And this is the story of Gideon. Judges 6, verse 11 says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree which is at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' So he said to him, 'O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.' Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you.' And he said, 'I will wait until you come back.' So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth.' And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight." Gideon is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame chapter in the Bible, because he did a mighty work in obedience to God. But here he starts out as a coward, threshing in a wine press so the Midianites wouldn't see him. Later, when God told him to tear down the altar of Baal and use its wood to sacrifice a bull to the Lord on a new altar that he was to build, he did it at night, so not to be seen by his own clan, who were also Baal worshippers. Not only is Gideon a coward, but he demands signs from the Lord so he can be sure of the task God asks him to do. First, there was the sign of the bread, the meat, and the broth that we read about just now. Then there was the sign of the fleece, where first he wanted God to put morning dew on a piece of fleece on the ground, and the ground remained dry. So God in his grace gave him that sign. The next morning, Gideon wanted dew on the ground and none on the fleece, and God granted him that sign as well. But you know, we shouldn't be too hard on Gideon, because we often like to see a sign when the Lord calls us to the work he has for us. But God doesn't call us with thunder and lightning or a sign in a fleece or fire to burn meat and bread. We live in the church age where the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all of us who have trusted Jesus as our Savior. God gives us signs in our heart when he calls us to any task. And I love the way Matthew Henry says it in his old English style in his commentary. He says, and I quote, "Now, under the Spirit, we are not to expect signs before our eyes such as Gideon here desired, but must earnestly pray to God that if we have found grace in his sight, he would show us a sign in our heart by the powerful working of his Spirit there." It reminds me of the greatest sign ever given, spoken by God himself in Isaiah 7, verse 14, where he says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. When God calls us, he calls us in our hearts. We need to listen for his call, be obedient to his call with a joyful heart. God worked out his will in the life of Gideon by the power of the Holy Spirit. Gideon does become brave. He calls on his fellow countrymen to follow him and defeats the Midianites with only 300 men, using only torches, pitchers, and trumpets. And for his trust in God and his obedience to God to defend Israel, Gideon's name is found in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 34. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 34, it says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the alien." Let's read Judges chapter 8, verses 22 to 27. This is the end of the story about Gideon. Judges 8, 22 to 27. "Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, 'Rule over us, both you and your son and your grandson also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian.' But Gideon said to them, 'I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you.'" Well, that was the right thing for him to say. Let's continue. "Then Gideon said to them, 'I would like to make a request of you, that each of you would give me the earrings from his plunder.' For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. So they answered, 'We will gladly give them.' And they spread out a garment, and each man threw into it the earrings from his plunder. Now the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides the crescent ornaments, pendants, and purple robes which were on the kings of Midian, and besides the chains that were around their camels' necks." And listen to this. "Then Gideon made it into an ephod and set it up in his city Ophrah, and all Israel played the harlot with it there. It became a snare to Gideon and to his house." Gideon fell into the oldest and most effective trap that Satan has: pride. He made a shrine to himself for what he had done. How many times have we seen the people of this world become rich and famous and erect shrines to themselves? Theaters, sports venues, concert halls, and hospital wings with some wealthy person's name on it. And sad to say, sometimes Christians fall into the same trap. We need to always remember that Jesus deserves all the honor and praise for any good that we do. We can do nothing good in our own strength. But I have seen wealthy Christians give lots of money to the furtherance of the gospel and yet not ask for or receive any praise or accolades for it. And what a beautiful sight that is to see. Let's remember, the crowns that we might get for any good thing we have done go back to the Lord, because he did them and used us as his instruments. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Revelation 4, verses 9 and 10, where it says, "Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne." Also, chapter 5 of Revelation, verse 13. "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Gideon began weak and cowardly, but became strong and courageous through God's power, and then finished poorly. Yet he is in the Bible's Hall of Fame. God can and does use the weakest among us to fulfill his purposes. All we have to do is be obedient when he calls us and go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we must give him all the praise for any good that might come from it. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.